Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can also reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, fluoride. They say fluoride helps prevent oral health problems. Fluoride is added in water systems all over the United States. It amounts to having free preventive dental care that you did not authorize. There is fluoride in toothpaste, but we are cautioned not to swallow the toothpaste. Yet, fluoride gets the green light to be added to our drinking and bathing water supply. What is fluoride? And is fluoride safe? Just want to go over a couple of terms that I want people to keep in mind while we, you know, while we're just having this discussing this topic. Fluoride comes from fluorine, an elemental gas that is pale, yellowish, flammable, irritating, and toxic. Keep that in mind. Fluoride comes from fluorine, an elemental gas that is pale, yellowish, flammable, irritating, and toxic. Dental fluorosis, also termed mottled enamel, is an extremely common disorder characterized by hypermineralization of the tooth enamel caused by ingestion of excessive fluoride during enamel formation. That's up to age 8. Dental fluorosis occurs during the first 8 years of life, says WebMD, resulting in discoloration or enamel spots, says Colgate Oral Care. Skeletal fluorosis is a bone disease caused by excessive accumulation of fluoride in the bones. In advanced cases, skeletal fluorosis causes pain and damage to bones and joints. Neurotoxins are toxins that are poisonous or destructive to nerve tissue. Nerve tissue or nervous tissue is the main tissue component of the two parts of the nervous system, the brain and the spinal cord, of the central nervous system, and the branching peripheral nerves of the peripheral nervous system, which regulates and controls body function. That's how you move and think and activity. Functions of the nervous system are sensory input, you smell stuff, you feel stuff, integration, you see stuff, you know, control of muscles and glands, homeostasis, that's how you maintain, your body maintains certain chemicals or fluids in the bottle, and mental activity, which is self-explanatory, how you think. So homeostasis is the property of a system within an animal in which a variable such as the concentration of a substance in solution is actively regulated to remain very nearly constant. Examples of homeostasis include the regulation of body temperature, the pH of the extracellular fluid, or the concentrations of sodium, potassium, and calcium ion, as well as that of glucose in the blood plasma. Despite changes in the environment, diet, or level of activity, each of these variables is controlled by a separate regulator or homeostatic mechanism, which together maintain life. So I'll give you all the, I'm discussing this because these things are things that are impacted on by fluoride. So from the news, since its inception in the 1940s, community water fluoridation has been lauded by public health agencies as one of the top public health achievements of the 20th century. It's done to reduce tooth decay in children and adults. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, children living in communities with fluorinated water have about 2.25% fewer decayed teeth than those without it. One fear is that fluoride buildup in the bones can occur. However, This is only a threat after long-term exposure to fluoridation levels higher than 4.0 milligrams. This is well beyond the fluoride level of 0.7 milligrams recommended by the United States Public Health Service. Other opponents argue that water fluoridation is a form of compulsory mass medication and that it denies consumers' choice. While these arguments are valid, scientists and studies underscore numerous benefits leading policymakers to believe the pros outweigh the cons. This is very important right here. While these arguments are valid, scientific studies underscore numerous benefits leading policymakers to believe the pros outweigh the cons. What's good about fluoride outweighs the bad things about fluoride based on some scientific studies that were done. We'll get into that farther on down the line. Because not all Americans have access to dental care, many view water fluoridation as a free preventive health measure, like enriched flour or fortified milk, especially in low-income communities where there may not be many dentists or where people can't afford to visit one. Water fluoridation reduces the risk of serious oral health problems. While much of the countries all fluoridate this water supply, nearly 75% of people on community water systems receive fluoridated water, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Using data from the CDC, the Center for Disease and Control, the experts at Health Grove discovered which states fluoridate the most. And we're going to get to that after I read this, because I think I have all 51 of them. Harvard School of Public Health in 2012 said, for years, health experts have been unable to agree on whether fluoride in the drinking water may be toxic to the developing human brain. Extremely high levels of fluoride are known to cause neurotoxicity in adults. That's why I read those, gave you the definition of the words in the beginning. And negative impact on memory and learning have been reported in rodent studies. They do a lot of studies with rodents because they have the same similar results as human beings. China Medical University in Shenyang, for the first time, combined 27 studies and found strong indications that fluoride may adversely affect cognitive development in children. That's thinking ability, you know, to think. Food and Water General Joel Griffin said, a primal poison of the highly toxic elements that are naturally present throughout the Earth's crust, such as arsenic, mercury, and lead, fluorine is by far the most abundant. Normally, only minute amounts of these elements are found on the Earth's surface, but industry mines vast tonnages, none in greater quantity than fluorine, which is most often found in the form of calcium fluoride. As early as 1850, fluoride emissions from the iron and copper industries poisoned crops, livestock, and people. By the turn of the century, lawsuits and burdensome regulations threaten the existence of these industries in Germany and England. In 1933, the world's first major air pollution disaster struck Belgium's Meuse Valley. Several thousand people became violently ill and 60 died. Kaj Wilhelm, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, the world's leading authority on fluoride hazards, placed the blame on airborne fluoride emissions. It was abundantly clear to both industry and government that U.S. industrial expansion would necessitate releasing millions of tons of waste fluoride into the environment. It was equally clear that the United States, industrial expansion would be accompanied by complaints and lawsuits over fluoride damage on an unprecedented scale. So what they're saying is it's anticipated this is going to be harmful and there's going to be lawsuits, but we're going to move on with this here for the sake of industrial expansion, so making money. So liability into asset. During the industrial explosion of the 1920s, the U.S. Public Health Service was under the jurisdiction of the Treasury Secretary Andrew W. Mellon, and founder and major stockholder in the Aluminum Company of America, Alcoa. Very important point here. In 1931, a PHS dentist named H. Trendley Dean was dispatched to remove towns in the West where drinking water wells contained high concentrations of natural fluoride. His mission: to determine how much fluoride people could tolerate without sustaining obvious damage to their teeth. Dean found that teeth in these high fluoride towns were often discolored, eroded, but he also reported that they appeared to have fewer cavities than average. I don't understand that. That sounds like a contradiction to me. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I don't know. It sounds like Dean found that the teeth in these high fluoride towns were often discolored and eroded. But he also reported that they appeared to have fewer cavities than average. So I don't know what kind of erosion this guy is talking about. Anyway, the University of Cincinnati's Kettering Laboratory, funded largely by top fluoride emitters such as Alcoa, right? That's an aluminum business, right? Dominated fluoride safety research. A book by Kettering scientists and Reynolds Metals consultant E.J. Largent was admittedly written in part to aid industry in lawsuits arising from fluoride damage. Nonetheless, the book became a basic international reference work. In 1939, Alcoa funded scientist Gerald J. Cox was one of the first to observe that the present trend toward complete removal of fluoride from water and food may need some reversal. This is in 1939. They sought to reverse the trend to remove fluoride from the water and food. It was Cox who proposed that the apparently worthless byproduct might reduce cavities in children. We have a caller, 80036.
Hey, hello, Carl.
How you doing?
Hello, listening.
Okay.
Once again, you found another issue with the New World Order and how they put everybody at risk. They sound like they're trying to help us out, but at the same time, it seems like they put us at risk with our health for the benefit
right.
of our teeth, I guess.
Right. And we have them policing themselves, because you cannot police an industry. You cannot depend on an industry to police itself, especially a business is trying to earn money from doing something. If the byproduct of producing aluminum is fluoride, right, and it's going into the air, then I'm going to pay a guy to put me out of business? I don't think so. I'm going to pay that guy to keep me in business, right? Whatever he come up with, he's going to go back to that lab till he can make it fit my needs. Because I'm greedy. I want to make some money. and I don't want to go out of business. Aluminum, there's a lot of aluminum being sold. So apparently that's what happened here, and I guess, you know, all the so-called watchers let that happen. And then the guy turns around and said this is good for kids' teeth, something that we was considering taking out of, you know what I'm saying, out of commission, period. Now, how did it go from being a risk to good to put in your kid's mouth or your mouth? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They concluded, fluoridated lab rats concluded that fluoride reduced cavities and declared flatly the case should be regarded as proved. So this, they went on this guy, paid by the aluminum industry, Alco, to say that fluoride was prevents cavities. In 1939, the first public proposal that the U.S. should fluorinate its water supplies was made not by a doctor or a dentist, but by Cox, an industry scientist working for a company threatened by fluoride damage claims. What a way to get out of it. You know what I'm saying? So now you've been making money off your waste, your industrial waste. You're taking the waste from making the creating the metals, and you're putting that in everything. It's not just in water. Undoubtedly, most proponents were sincere in their belief that the procedure was safe and beneficial. I can't believe that. Not from me. If they know half of what I just read, they can't believe that it's safe. Nonetheless, their unquestioning endorsement of fluoridation made possible the massive public relations stroke. If fluoride could be introduced as a health enhancing substance, that should be added to the environment for the children's sake. Ain't that something? They care so much about the kids, the children, that they're going to give them free dental care in their water. Try to get some free dental care right now. You know what I'm saying? Try to get some free dental care. So, the Alcoa Corporation from Aluminum Company of America is an American industrial corporation. It is the world's fifth largest producer of aluminum, with corporate headquarters in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's the steel mills over there, right?
Right.
Sales on Market Watch. They're all sales and revenues. 2006, $9.32 billion. 2015, $11.22 billion. 2014, $23.8 billion. 2013, $23.6 billion. 2012, $23.68 billion. So that's a lot of money being made right there. And that be being said kind of give you an idea why this thing's not going anywhere and why they were able to pay to have their toxic waste introduced or added to our water supply and food and just all kinds of things. Fluoride, where does it come from? What does it do? Fluoride comes from fluorine, an element gas, right? That Webster describes as yellowish, flammable, irritating, and toxic. That's from the Webster's Dictionary. In 1997, the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health published the following information on fluorine. Fluorine and some of its compounds are primary irritants of the skin, eyes, mucous membranes, and lungs. Thermal or chemical burns may result from contact, even when they involve small body areas. Less than 3% fluoride can cause poisoning by absorption of the fluoride through the skin. That's for everybody that's not drinking spigot water and taking a shower, and you don't have appropriate filterization system. And I mean appropriate, if there's a such thing. Brief exposure to inhaled fluorine can cause sore throat, chest pain, irreversible damage to the lungs, and death. Gastrointestinal symptoms of nausea, vomiting, diffuse abdominal cramps, and diarrhea can be expected. Large doses produce central nervous system involvement with twitching of muscle groups, convulsions, and coma. So you just basically just, simply. So who's watching these guys? Because Houston, we have a problem.
Supposed to be watching them, right?
It seems like nobody's watching them. They get paid. They pay to do what they want to do. They pay to play. That's what it seems like. Fluorine is the active ingredient in, check this out, sarin, the nerve gas used to a deadly effect in March 1995 Tokyo subway attack. The sarin, sarin gas. How do you say it? Sarin gas. And the fluticasone, a fungicide that in the early 90s caused crop damage and human ailments in 40 states. We only got 51, am I right?
Right.
Hydrogen fluoride, hydrofluoric acid, and its salt are used in the production of organic and inorganic fluorine compounds such as fluorides and plastics as a catalyst in the petroleum industry. You listen to how many people use products that contain petroleum and as an insecticide. The NIOSH, N-I-O-S-H report continues. It is utilized in the aluminum industry in separating uranium isotopes in cleaning cast iron, copper, and brass. Fluorides are used as an electrolyte in aluminum manufacture and smelting nickel, copper, gold, and silver as a catalyst for organic reactions, a wood preservative, a bleaching agent for some cane seed, and pesticides, rodenticides, and rodenticides, and as a fermentation inhibitor. They are utilized in the manufacture of steel, iron, glass, ceramics, potters, enamels, and castings for welding rods in cleaning graphite metals, windows, and glassware. That's a lot of stuff right there. Exposures to fluoride may also occur during preparation of fertilizer from phosphate rock. And that's very important right there. Fertilizer from phosphate rock. And it's another connection to that also. Excuse me. NIOSH noted that elemental fluorine is also used in the conversion of uranium tetrafluoride to uranium hexafluoride in the synthesis of organic and inorganic fluorine compounds and as an oxidizer in rocket fuel. Today, compounds made with this chemical can be found in everyday products ranging from Teflon to Freon, baby food, back to your kids. Fluorides are industrial waste products created in the production of aluminum, phosphoric acid, and phosphate fertilizers. You guys listening to this?
Yeah.
None of that sounds
like it should be going into the body.
How? It's not only purpose it's serving is the people who produce fluoride as a waste product and sell it as a product that's a health product. I mean,
right.
Basically, anything goes. It's whatever they say it is. Whatever you can
mm-hmm.
pay to say something is, that's what this is telling me, that's what it is. You can pay to get the scientists to back up what you're saying. Some 55 years after DuPont began producing uranium, hexafluoride for the Manhattan Project, the company still heavily invests in fluorine. DuPont uses it to make a number of consumer products, including Kevlar, polyvinyl, fluorine film, and Vitin, fluorocarbon rubber. So, I'm going back to the who uses fluorinated water, who has the state. We got, I'm starting from number 51. This is the lowest. They have the least fluorinated water. Hawaii, 10.8%. I'm going to try to run through these pretty quick. New Jersey. I thought that was interesting because they right across the river from Philadelphia. New Jersey, 14.6%. Oregon, 22.6%. Montana, 32%. Idaho, 36.1%. Louisiana, 43.4%. Wyoming, 43.6%. New Hampshire, 46%. Utah, 51. I thought everything was clean out there in Utah. I thought Utah was, you know, I guess not. Alaska,
yeah, really.
52. Alaska, 52%, all that water up there?
Mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania, 54.6.
Mm.
Vermont, 56.1. Arizona, 57.8. Mississippi, 58.2. Kansas, 63.6. Washington, 63.6. California, 63.7. Arkansas, 63.8.9. Oklahoma, 70.1%. Massachusetts, 70.4%. Nebraska, 71.2%. New York, 71.8%. That New York water is something else. Colorado. Come on, that's the same as New York. 72.4. Nevada, 73.5. Missouri, 76.4. New Mexico, 77%. Well, they said that water down in Mexico, but this is the water that people are adding stuff to. This ain't even the bad water they're talking about. They're talking about water that we people are adding something into. So, Florida, 78%.
Oh.
Alabama, 78. Maine, 79.4. Texas, 79.6. Rhode Island, 83.9. Delaware, 86.3. North Carolina, 87.5. What's this? Wisconsin, 89.4. Tennessee, 89.7. Michigan, 90.2. Maybe that's what's going on. And somebody asked me what's going on in Detroit. Maybe that fluorinated water's got people going, you know, just not thinking right up there. I don't know. Connecticut, 90.3. West Virginia, 91.1. Iowa, 92. Ohio, 92.2. South Dakota, 93.6. South Carolina, 93.8. Watch it. I just asked that question. Let me see. Who else? Indiana, 94.8. Virginia, 96. Georgia, 96.3. North Dakota, 96.7. Maryland, 97.2. Illinois, 98.5. Minnesota, 98.8. So that's all of them. So Minnesota has the most. Minnesota really is Minnesota, Illinois, Maryland, North Dakota. Why is Georgia? This is crazy. Anyway, Minnesota has the most, but I mean, it's not that most than, you know, the next one to them. So here are some fluoride facts.
So wait. So this isn't natural. This is everything that the establishment putting in the water that's making these numbers.
Yo, this is correct. This is Yeah, this is, fluoride, I read in the beginning, fluoride, well, is a neurotoxin. Maybe I didn't get to that part yet, but, you know, I'm going to get to it. Yeah, because it's the fluoride, they were thinking about removing it from everywhere. All of a sudden, this guy does a test. This scientist is paid to do a test by a company that produces fluoride waste that was in court being sued for people who were damaged or injured by fluoride, you know. And all of a sudden, it's everywhere. It went from, how did it go from, oh, yeah, we need to take this out. It's not secret. It's not a secret. It's harmful. I'm not blowing the whistle or nothing. It's just people just don't care, I guess, you know, that you know, like I'm saying, you get paid to play. You got the dough, you know, you can do what you want to do. Maybe Donald Trump did have a point. Depends on who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some fluoride facts. And I'm not saying things that this necessarily true or false. This is a list of facts that I've gathered. And I got another list of facts. So this is a list of facts that fluoride occurs naturally in water, though usually not at high levels enough to protect teeth. True. Right? Fluoride exists naturally in virtually all water supplies. There are proven benefits to our health from having the right amount of fluoride, just enough to protect our teeth in the water. Right? Fluoride has been recognized as an important nutrient for healthy teeth. You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Fluoridation is the most cost-effective way to prevent tooth decay and build healthy communities. Okay? You have a healthy community if you fluoridate your water. Fluoridation is a public health measure, a modest community-wide investment that benefits everyone. Fluoridated water is the best way to protect everyone's teeth from decay. Okay, number six, high fluoridated concentrations can lead to a condition called fluorosis, right? Nearly all fluorosis in the United States is mild. This condition does not cause pain, does not affect the health or function of the teeth. That's when you get discoloration of the teeth before the forming of forming of the teeth. That's up to age 8. That can happen, that occurs. Getting enough fluoride in childhood is critical to strengthening our teeth over an entire lifetime. Just remember what I'm saying here. This is a lot. Children who swallow toothpaste are at increased risk of mild fluorosis. The warning label on toothpaste reflects the fact that it contains a higher concentration, roughly 1,000 times as much fluoride per milligram than fluoridated water. Well, at least they said that. Fluoridated water is safe for babies and young children. The ADA states that doctors can suggest the continued use of powdered or liquid concentrate infant formulas reconstituted with optimally fluoridated drinking water. The ADA in 2010, a study examined the issue of fluorosis and infant formula and reached the conclusion that no general recommendations to avoid use of fluoridated water in reconstituted infant formula are warranted. So basically, okay, got the green light for infant formula that is fortified with fluoridated drinking water. Gave that the green light, that's 2010. Right? In the 1900s, it was about to take fluoride out of everything. Who's pushing fluoride on us like this? Although Americans' teeth are healthier than they used to be, many people still suffer from tooth decay and the impact it has on their lives. Well, as we know, tooth decay comes from many things. You know, so if you don't take care of your teeth, you're at risk of losing your teeth. If you eat a lot of candy and things like that, you're at greater risk. Sugars and things like that help break down the teeth. Food in your mouth and things like that. But they didn't mention this. This is not even mentioned in here. This is all based on fluoride, like it's a magical drug. So the leading health and medical organization agrees fluoridated water is both safe and effective. So it's effective with preventing tooth decay. So we shouldn't have a lot of, if you drink a lot of water, you shouldn't have a lot, any tooth decay or very little of it, according to this. Dozens of studies and 70 years of experience have consistently shown that fluoridation reduces tooth decay, right? The CDC recognizes fluoridation's effectiveness in preventing tooth decay, and fluoridated drinking water is one of the 10 great public health achievements of the 20th century. That's the Center for Disease and Control now recognizes fluoridation effectiveness. I'm not going to read all of it because there's a whole lot I'm trying to just get run through here. Millions of people living in Europe are receiving the benefits of fluoride. Millions of people in Europe are receiving the benefits of fluoride. Community water fluoridation is the most cost-effective way to protect oral health. Water fluoridation has been thoroughly studied, and the evidence shows it is safe and effective. How is that possible? And who's this? Yeah. Like something's wrong with this picture. Now I'm going to skip. Well, you know, I can get to the last two of these. Some studies have been better than others. Many studies were poorly designed, gathered unreliable data, and were not peer reviewed by independent scientists. Much of the fluoride used to fluoridate public water system is extracted from phosphate rock. Remember the phosphate rock that I mentioned earlier? So, this on the Wake in Science. Fluoride is officially classified as a neurotoxin in world's most prestigious medical journal. This is February 10, 2016. The movement to remove industrial sodium fluoride from the world's water supply has been growing in recent years. Here we go again, right? With the evidence coming out against the additive from several sources. Now, a report from the world's oldest and most prestigious medical journal, The Lancet, has officially classified fluoride as a neurotoxin in the same category, weight class, right, as arsenic, lead, and mercury is fluoride. So what is the CDC saying, and who paid those guys off? So a neurotoxin, from the medical dictionary, a substance that is poisonous or destructive to nerve tissue. That's how you sense everything. That's how you move. That's how you think. So that basically is going to tear you up. A toxin that acts directly on the tissues of the central nervous system, traveling along the axis cylinders of the motor nerves to the brain. The toxin may be secreted in the venom of certain snakes, or it may be present on the spines of a shell or in the flesh of a fish or shellfish. It may be produced by certain bacteria or by cellular disintegration of certain bacteria. So that's neurotoxin. Because, you know, you got fish that do things, you got snakes that bite you. They're saying fluoride is a neurotoxin. Those are other neurotoxins that I just named, you know, from those shellfish, snakes, like venomous snakes and stuff like that. So it's right there with that. Those are the, you know, same class of toxins. Neurons are the main human mechanisms of intracellular communication within the body. Bundles of neurons known as nerves. So you know what the nerves, we just talked about that in the beginning. That's why I said that, because I want you to see what's being attacked. Your central nervous system, that's everything that helps you do everything that you do, is under attack with anything that is a neurotoxin. This is not a joke. This is very serious. And for anybody to, in any way, shape, or form, allow this neurotoxin, to be placed in our water supply for us to drink, to say that it's good, it's healthy, for us to bathe in, and our food, something is wrong. Something is very, very wrong. Someone is not watching after you, does not have your best interest at hand. But we have a caller on 9042. Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought.
Yeah, thank you for the homework you did, statistics. Number one, people drink a lot of bottled water. I do here. I got bought some today. Overall, throughout the United States, and you know with this Hurricane Harvey, that's a topic you hear a lot, you know, people getting water because their water not clean. Question is, in the bottled water, is there chlorine in the bottled water? Let's start there.
Depends on which bottle you get. They have chlorinated bottled water. Yes, they do. But I don't know if all bottled water have chlorine in it. But I've seen some that,
right.
I mean, it's on it. If you read it, it'll say that. Sodium chlorine. Yeah.
It was called sodium, what is it, sodium chlorine?
Sodium chlorine, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so that's number one. But what you're saying, you've educated me and others. Let's start there by not buying those waters. As a matter of fact, I'll look at the water I got and see what is in the content and educate the people to either the YMCA, get the word out, and then we need a young man or a young woman to advocate that. It's a long journey. It's got to be an individual that's strong mind and strong will to get those facts out there. And locally, get it out of our water. Let's start there. Even though it looks like is it federal wide or is it state by state?
Oh, say, I bet all 51 states.
Yeah, but I'm saying, did the federal government pass the law that all the waters have chlorine, or is it state by state?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, is it something
on
the
book? Let me see. People have fought against that.
Right.
What you can do, Global Health Center, Dr. Edward Groot.
Yeah,
he says.
Right, but if it's federal-wide, then we need to get a person that we get in there as the president to overturn that. If it's federal-wide, but you don't know that, right?
No, I don't know, but you write them all. You should be writing your representatives in all levels of government, not just that's only one place.
Right, I know.
And even they should be writing the same letter you write. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. They got to advocate. They in a position. But we can push them by signing things. Like I said, you need an individual or individuals. You know, it has to be one person. It should be a group of young people because it's a long journey to get something like that overturned. And they got to be faithful at it and really believe what they're standing for based on the facts. So something like that is, because I've been hearing about chlorine since I was a young person. So it's been integrated in our water system for a long time. We're talking about 70 years or more. So I'm saying, this is not going to change tonight, but number one, what we could do for ourselves is, like you said, read the water that we get on the bottles and make sure that chloride is not in those waters that we get and leave the other waters there. That could speak volumes and say to the various stores, your ShopRite, your Acme, say, I'm not buying this particular brand of water because there's chlorine in it. So that's something the individual public can do. Reject the bottled water with chlorine. And then you need a group of persons, young and old, all ages, but they need more than one person so you can tackle it in your individual cities and push to have that, least if it's not federal-wide mandated, at least get it out to your individual state. but they got to do their homework. And it's
right,
I'm sure it's a state thing.
A state city thing.
You don't think it's a federal
thing? I'm sure it's that.
Okay.
I don't know if it's
so
a mandate, they got
because
the green light to do it.
Right.
You don't have to do it.
But
you don't have to fluoridate water.
Right. So Pennsylvania, because I guess you got to do it by state. I don't think Philadelphia could do it on their own for just Philadelphia. I think the whole state got to be in agreement.
Yeah, we don't know. You start with Philadelphia.
But
you start with Philadelphia,
where
you live at. Your borough, wherever you live at. That's where you start at.
Yeah, we don't know. So that's where the homework come in. Doing like you did. You gave us great homework. It was the most time to go off the air, and you gave us a lot of information. So when you give information like that, is it on your blog?
I can put it on my blog. You want me to put it on the community page?
I'm just suggesting that because you gave us a lot of statistics, and our brain can only absorb it so much, you know.
Right.
So
okay.
And per request, you can do it arbitrarily, do it, or you can do it. You need someone to say, "I want to know the facts," and then they need to go. A group of people need to go run it. Like I said, it's going to be a journey because it took decades for them to do this to us. But meanwhile, we can be a smart shopper and not get the waters that have that chlorine in it and tell the manager per store, I'm not buying brand name blah, blah, blah because you got chlorine in it. And if that water's sitting there, then they will say, don't bring that water up in here because our people are not buying it. So what I'm saying, that's the way we could start a movement in that area because there's so many things we need to tackle. School just started. We want good education. It's a lot on the people in general, the people that go after doing things. But I'm saying a group of people need to come together and educate it with the facts that you have laid out and start small. Don't buy the water, the bottled water, and then go from there.
I want to add to what you're saying. You asked what level have people approached politicians. It says since 1990, more than 300 communities have beat fluoridation with a city council or referendum vote to end the practice with the help of a FAN. There are signs the issue is becoming less controversial in the eyes of decision makers.
Okay.
So, it's very popular. You can the FAN is the Fluoride Action Network.
Right.
Right. So they help people. They advocate for people and to petition their so-called leaders.
To represent the local representative.
Right.
To work there. Okay. Well, that's what I'm suggesting. Start with the bottled water. Speak volumes with it sitting there, and then tell the owner, I'm not buying it because you got chlorine in it. Start there. And then somebody.
Fluoride.
You know,
fluoride. This is fluoride.
It's chloride. The word chloride would be on the bottle.
Well, chlorinated. You asked me about chlorine. So chlorinated water. They do have chlorinated water. But fluoride is in in your drinking water. Like you turn your spigot on.
Right. Correct.
You take a bath.
Correct.
That's fluoridated water. And I just read off the percentages of which of each state fluorinates water. You know what I'm saying? So I think who was it? Hawaii did it the least.
They have the least in Hawaii.
Right. The least fluorinated water. The least.
Okay, so they made a decision somewhere along the line. They made a decision. If they're the least,
they made some kind of decision, So whatever reason that they did, they do it.
Yeah, for them to have the least, because Hawaii is nothing but an island surrounded by water.
Right.
So they made a decision maybe decades ago. So that's hopeful to hear that. So that's my suggestion, that it's something starting with bottled water, speaking volumes, and working with your local representative. You need a group of people to advocate that and be willing to be faithful to it, because it's going to take a while.
Hawaii and New Jersey.
Right. You know, do it.
New Jersey is 14.6. Okay, thank you.
Right. You're welcome.
All right. Anybody, y'all heard that?
Heard it.
Let's get moving. Start reading these bottles of water. This is fluoride. It's in your water system. So it's not going to say fluoride. You read the bottles. I don't see where it says all fluorinated water on a bottle. But you do have some waters that have all sodium chlorine in it, which is my next topic. Next week's topic. Hello?
Okay.
All right. So we're going to do chlorine next week.
Okay.
All right.
Right.
Call in. So, you know, we have to understand we see a pattern here where if you have money, you're allowed to lie to the people, create your own truth, and poison people. This has got to stop. And as the caller just said, we can start by not buying products that we know have these chemicals, these toxins in them. We can start by contacting our representatives, our city council, state rep, congressmen, everybody. And start moving on this right now because it's going to affect you. It's affecting your kids. It's in baby formula. So your children don't even stand a chance. It's in the baby formula. So I don't know what more to say. There's much more to be said about this hit, but we only have about two more minutes to go. Brother, did you want to say anything else before I go to the close out the night?
I'm just going to check my filters and read the labels on the bottled water, just like you said.
Okay. And there's no evidence that fluoride reduces tooth decay. Tooth decay was coming down before fluoridation started. Tooth decay does not go up when fluoridation is stopped. So this is other tooth decay is in high and low income communities that have been fluoridated for years. So those stories, the information I gave you before, fluoridation's role in the decline of tooth decay is in serious doubt. Fluoridation is not necessary. Benefit is topical, not systemic. Well, that's the end of it. See you guys next week. Stay tuned for chlorine. I want to thank Retalk Productions for allowing me to host the show. I want to thank the creator. I want to thank the callers and the listeners. Please.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
Thank you very much.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, you still there?
Yep.
All right, man. Thanks.
You going down the way?
No, I gotta fix the toilet. Chuck, get ready to come over.
All right. Come up here, hey.
All right. Yeah, ain't no fight on tonight, right?
I don't know. I could check.
If it is,
I'll call you back. If there is,
right.
I'll call you back.
Okay.